Welcome to the Alchemy, Astrology, and Astrohealth podcast. I'm Maya Ratla, medical astrologist, astroherbalist, and green witch. I was diagnosed with endometriosis at 19, and I was told I would never have children. I healed my body through the power of herbs, alternative health practitioners, energy healing, and more. At 28, I had the baby they said I would never have, without any interventions. I refused to believe that my body was not able to heal itself. Along this journey, I stumbled across medical astrology, and it resonated with me so much. I started down the path to learning this unique system that had been used for thousands of years in the medical community. I now help other women heal their bodies using their cosmic blueprint, the unique blueprint that every person has embedded in their DNA from the stars. This system helps me see what's going on in your body on a cosmic level and exactly how to help you give your body what it needs to heal itself. We are all uniquely and amazingly designed, and when we learn to work with our design, love ourselves for how we are designed to function, and integrate the cosmos into our lives, I truly believe that we can see true and lasting health brought into our lives. If you are ready to change your life, heal your body, and learn to deeply love who you are, this podcast is for you. Come join me as I discuss medical astrology, astronutrition, astroherbalism, health, wellness, spirituality, transformation, and so much more. I'm so excited you are joining me. God, y'all, let me tell you about this brand new offering that is coming out this week. I want to introduce you to the Astro Aligned Kitchen. Have you been really tired of starving yourself and cutting out entire food groups for like weeks or months at a time and trying to remember what is and is not allowed on whatever diet you're doing this week? Me too. I am so over the diet culture way of starving myself and not allowing myself to enjoy life because of whatever restrictive diet I'm on now. Right? So when I found medical astrology and astronutrition, that literally changed my life. I learned my cosmic blueprint and exactly how my body is designed to use nutrients, which one it needs more of, and the best foods for my body. Best of all, I really learned how to properly nourish and fuel my body for the activities that I love to do, i.e. heavy weightlifting in the gym. So I had no more feeling faint at the gym because I haven't eaten since 6 p.m. the day before and skipped pre-workout meal ahead of time because the diet says that working out on an empty stomach is better, right? No more feeling hungry all the time. No more guessing what was best or not for my body. And best of all, no more restrictive eating because fuck that. Your body is cosmically designed to function at its best when you align the nutrients that your metabolism needs to work optimally. And this is all determined by your Mars placement. So knowing where your Mars placement is in your natal chart helps you to understand what nutrients your body needs the most to function at its best. For example, my Mars placement is in Virgo, so I need a high protein intake as well as ensuring that I get plenty of fat-soluble vitamins daily. And then due to my Saturn in Scorpio, I also need to focus on more alkaline and fermented foods with plenty of fiber. So when I started following this, right, and nourishing my body with nutrient-dense whole foods, I started feeling better than I have in years. I was able to release 30 pounds in a year, and I did not starve myself or work out at the gym until I literally passed out or felt like I was going to, right? I enjoyed life again because no foods were off limits. This meant I could eat pizza, ice cream, birthday cake, donuts, all of the carbs. And let me tell you, I did not miss one, and I did not feel guilty while doing it. But what I really found was it was hard to nourish my body properly during this when my kitchen was still full of all of the foods that my body just didn't like as well as others. And so I started by cleaning it out and starting over fresh. And I've had so many clients over the last year ask me how I managed to keep on cooking nutrient-dense foods for 3 meals a day when they were struggling and it seemed so hard. So step number one is setting yourself up for success, right? And that is what Astro Aligned Kitchen is designed to do. In this one-of-a-kind program, you will learn how to determine your cosmic blueprint, what that means in terms of your metabolism, and how to best nourish your body based on your design. And then after all of that, we work through cleaning out your kitchen and setting it back up for success and nourishing your body with nutrient-dense whole foods from now until forever. So if you're hearing this and going, fuck yeah, how do I sign up? Scroll down to the show notes and click on the link. This will take you to the Astro Aligned Kitchen program. It is waiting for you, and I am super excited to have you join me in this one-of-a-kind program. Let's kick diet culture to the curb forever, and I will see you inside the kitchen.
Hi, podcast listeners. Did you know the number one reason for hormonal imbalances in the body is a nutritional deficit? And are you tired of battling hormonal imbalances and trying to figure out what's going on and how to fix them? Well, I've got a solution for you. Introducing my groundbreaking manual and workbook, Hormone Balance Through Astronutrition. I have crafted a 35-page guide that delves deep into your cosmic design and helps reveal the secrets that your body is holding to help it heal. Are you experiencing heavy periods, painful periods, PMS symptoms, PCOS, endometriosis, struggling with infertility or the menopause from hell? Maybe you have some thyroid problems going on. This is your body speaking to you in the language of symptoms and trying to tell you what it needs. With the Hormone Balance Through Astronutrition Guide, you can decode what your body's messages are and discover the nutrients essential for your healing. I often get asked, how do I identify the root cause of what's happening? Well, this manual has the answers. Using a medical astrology, we can figure out exactly what's going on inside of your body. And here's the best part. It's absolutely free. Yeah, you heard that right. All of my years of experience are condensed into this comprehensive guide available for download today at subscribepage.io/hormoneastronutrition, or you can find the link in the show notes today. You can transform your health by downloading the Hormone Balance Through Astronutrition Guide today and start feeling the difference tomorrow. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to align with the cosmos for your optimal well-being. You and your body deserve it. So again, visit subscribepage.io/hormoneastronutrition or check the link in our show notes. Your cosmic healing journey begins today. Hi, and welcome back to Alchemy, Astrology, and Astro Health. I am here today with Megan Crouch. She is a multimodality goddess. She has learned Tai Chi first in her 20s and then started studying other energy systems of the body. She's trained in Reiki, massage therapy, access consciousness, Akashic record reading, coaching, quantum healing, human design, and gene keys. As I said, multimodality goddess. She is also a writer, a leader, and she has 25 years experience in corporate, bridging her spiritual gifts and helping others. And I am so excited that she's here. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited. Take two with everything since we
right?
had a conversation a few weeks ago, and God said, yeah, it's time for something different.
Yeah. So we had recorded this previously, y'all, and it sounded great when we recorded it. And then the other day I went to edit it so that I could put it up because she was going to be the next guest. And you could hear everything she said amazingly well, and everything I said was in like stereo and not in a good way. So we have to re-record so you can actually hear us. So here we go again.
Experience new brilliance.
As we said to each other when this happened, was obviously Spirit wanted us to talk about something else. So that's what we are going to do. Because exactly. Honestly, I couldn't repeat that previous episode even if we wanted to, because we don't follow scripts here, y'all. So,
nope.
So Megan and I met in the female spiritual, female entrepreneurs, what is it? Soulpreneurs, Sister Soulpreneurs Facebook group. And she is part of the Business Temple with Sarai, who's been on here previously as well. And they help other spiritual entrepreneurs like start their business and have a mastermind for those who are further along and just, you know, maybe need some guidance or someone to bounce ideas off of. And she is a part of that. And the stuff that she does in there is amazing. I will let Megan tell you about that now, though. What exactly is it that you help people with and in there and then in your own practice?
So in the Business Temple, I am the foundation piece. So, you know, in my own entrepreneurial journey, I have made every mistake possible, you know, listening to some good, some bad advice, you know, and just really for myself, like having to step out of corporate, which is a very different mindset than entrepreneurship. And so really helping people build the foundation in a way of like, you know, some of the stuff is like, this is like how other businesses do it. And there's great value to get there. And then like, once you understand how this works for you, scrap it and what's right for you. Cause I think, you know, that's what we're here to do, is to do business in a different way. And so it's like good to understand the rules so you can properly break them.
Yes.
So
yeah, because I'm very much with Megan on that. I am 1,000% a rule breaker in my business. I don't follow anything like I'm supposed to. And yet things work. And I think it's because I'm working with like my energy flows and the way that like things work well for me. I'm really, really incorporated just 100% being me. And if you like it, great. And if you don't, well, I just really don't care. I'm not made for everybody. And I don't need everybody to be in my life, right? Or in my business, exactly. Or, you know, as a client. And actually realizing that has been so freeing, because when you hear the like the bro marketing advice and stuff, it's literally like, you know, you have to get so many people in your world and you got to be everything to everybody. And I'm just like, I don't want to be everything to everybody.
Mm-mm. And I think it's so hard for women in particular. And I see this, I've seen this a lot in corporate, like especially kids coming out of college, like this need to be liked by everyone. And I don't know if it's like programming from school, but it's like, not everybody's supposed to like you and you're not going to like everybody else. And that's okay. You know, you actually want to stand out. You want to be that individual self so you can shine. And like if you're, especially in corporate, and I think even in business, like if you're pissing somebody off, you're doing it right.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
I followed for a very long time, or tried to at least, all of the marketing advice that I was given by people who had been doing this for a long time, right? Marketing in business, whatever. Because I was like, oh, well, they've been in business for 15 years, they obviously are a person that I would want to talk to, right? And the advice they gave probably worked great for them, but it never worked great for me. And I was just like, why is this not working? It's not working. It's not working, you know? And I just was like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, right? Like I made it all about like I was doing something wrong instead of it just being the wrong advice, right?
Yeah.
Because it was 100% the wrong advice. It's like the hustle culture mentality of I have to run to do stuff and then I will get success. And I was like, I don't want to run myself into the ground. Isn't there a way to do this without having to do that? And I did find something, but yeah, it took a while to just like be okay with not doing things the way everyone else does. I don't think I was wanting to be liked, but I know what you're saying about the younger kids, but I think it was just like, well, everyone else does this, so it must work, so I must do that.
Yeah.
In my case.
Yeah. And my comment about the being liked was like in reference to like you should bring everybody into your business. And it's just not.
Yeah.
It's not true. Because one, if it's the wrong energy, they're going to seep into and ruin your connection with your ideal divine client, because it's going to be this icky energy. And so you don't want everybody. I mean, I have men in my group. I work with men, but I'm very selective of the men I let into my container, because I don't want that, for lack of a better word at the moment, that hookup energy where like they're trying to, you know, because, you know, a lot of the guys will come in and be like, hey, and you're like, no, you know, so it's like, yeah. You've got to be really, I mean, it's part strategic and part owning your container and owning, this is who I am. And this is who I allow in. And when you cross the boundary after I've told you this isn't okay, and you overextend that again, it's like, you're out, you know, we're not playing here. This is like, this is my business. This is my life. And we're not having that. So, you know, I think that's like the other important thing. And I think again, where women can be afraid to have those strong boundaries, because, you know, some of them, like they think it's too masculine. And it's like, you want that part of your masculine self to shine, because then your feminine gets to shine.
Yes. Yes. No, I feel that so much. There's been a couple of times that I have allowed people, let people, whatever you want to call it, like come work with me that like my intuition was saying it's not great, probably not a good fit. And then like one day into working with them,
it was just really screaming to me that, oh my God, I should have listened to my intuition. And now I'm like forced trying to like get them out of my world when they shouldn't have been there to begin with. And I'm like, oh, why didn't I listen to it? And I think that's because I was, again, following all that marketing advice where it's like, you got to get as many people as you can into your world. And, you know, and I was like, but it doesn't feel right to just let everybody in. And since I've started being much more picky, I guess, so that's what you want to consider it, it's been so much better for me, for them. Everybody gets a better experience, right? So,
yep. So, you know, I've got that business side of myself, like where, you know, because being that multi-passionate, lots of modalities and things that I can do. You know, I struggled in like finding that, how do I bridge all these parts of myself? So I'm very grateful to have the Business Temple, to have that place where I can, you know, share my love of business and brainstorming like what's possible and helping to uplift other women, other people to have that success. And then, you know, the other side of my business is I do, like I call it quantum healing and coaching, because I do quantum healing work, Akashic Record kind of stuff, where I go into fields and I guide people into their own fields to connect with their past lives or their generational history, which is where mm-hmm. we play out patterns and stuckness in our bodies and our decisions, our reactive energy, and I help them get to the root cause of that issue, and then kind of bring them into the future and what is that new energy that you want to create your life from. So, you know, some of the stuff is like things that happened in this lifetime where it's more like a timeline repair, and then the quantum healing, which is really going deeper into the fields and, you know, again, where in that past history did this come in? I've done mm-hmm. stuff from like, I've had to, you know, guide clients down into kind of hell realms and retrieve soul fragments of themselves and bring it back. And, you know, I had one client recently who said, you know, like, you're not afraid. She's like, I've shared all kinds of really dark stuff with you. And we did this session and you just were never afraid. You handled everything that came up. And that's mm-hmm. really who I am. And that's why, you know, I call my business the wise warrior. You know, cause it's like, I have the wisdom from all these different modalities to guide people. And then that warrior energy to deal with whatever comes up.
Yeah. Which, let's be honest, can sometimes be a lot. Yeah. Yeah, that's me. People are like, I have told you things that A, I have never told anybody else, but when I'm around you, they just come spilling out and I don't know why. And B, like, you didn't even flinch. I was so worried you wouldn't keep me as a client or you would stop being my friend or whatever. But instead, you're just going and you're like giving me advice like, why? And I was like, well, for one, I have 5 planets in Scorpio, so there's pretty much nothing you can tell me that is going to be like super taboo that I'm going to be like, oh my God, you don't say, I'm clutching the pearls, right? For one. For two, I like the taboo stuff. Like, yes, let's talk about this. I don't want to do the superficial, how's the weather, where you are, how are you doing today? Fuck that. Let's be like, okay, what was your deepest trauma? And let's talk about it, right? Like,
yep. Exactly. And there's so many practitioners who stay at that surface level. You know, and I think sometimes like we've got to, it's like working with a tight muscle. If you just like slam in there, it's going to tense up even more and not allow you in. Mm-hmm. But if you go in gentle and you sit with it and you, you know, sometimes in the silence where it's like, oh, is there anything else? And then like, somebody's like, nope. You just, you know that there's more and you just sit there and all of a sudden it's like, it comes out. And mm-hmm. I've received sessions from people where it's like, you know, I'm like just starting to get into the juicy stuff and they like, all right, now we're going to move on to this. I'm like, wait a second. Like,
wait. Why are we moving on? Like, we just got, yes. Yeah. You literally got like the fluff that I, you know, feel comfortable saying, but at first, now that I've gotten like, you know, into my flow, like I want to do more. Why are we running away from it? Like,
exactly.
I'm with you. I don't understand that, but I there's a lot of people who do, and that's fine, I guess. That's as comfortable as maybe they feel going with a client, right? But I'm looking to get like way down deep in there, dig through all the muck and the mire, and find what's really going on so that we can get rid of it and we can heal. You can't heal if you're not willing to do the shadow side of things and work with that darkness and dive into there and figure out what's going on.
Yep. And that's why so many people loop in that constant healing state, because you're not getting to that part. Mm-hmm. You're not releasing the rage from what happened to you, you know, and like until somebody is willing to go there with you. And I think so many healers, like, they're afraid to traumatize somebody. And it's like, you're already traumatized. The only way to stop being traumatized is to release that shit. And I'm willing to go down there with you. You're not alone. I will hold your hand every step of the way. You know, like, my avatar self is this Chinese like being. I think she's, you know, from like my martial arts side, and she's got this staff with a spear on it, and it just like cuts through stuff. And, you know, sometimes like, you know, I'll tell like, you know, certain friends who are doing deep work, like, you know, call on her if you ever need it. And, you know, one friend was like, you know, it's like your staff goes in, your spear goes in, and like it sends out this like bomb of light that like just disintegrates everything. Like, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, that's a good description. I like that. But it's true. It's like, I think sometimes we get so caught up in like, well, I just want this symptom to go away, that we're willing to accept a Band-Aid solution that makes that symptom lessen or even disappear, without realizing that all we're doing is pushing the root cause deeper and deeper into our bodies, into our psyches, into our shadow selves, and making it harder to eradicate later. But we got that temporary solution where now, you know, this symptom I was having is gone, you know, so now I'm happy. But you're maybe happy on a surface level, but you're not healthy.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's like putting your finger in holes in the boat, and like eventually you run out of fingers and toes, and it's just going to burst forth in a place where you just shit over everybody. And if you had actually just dealt with the pain and the trauma and gone there, you would have collapsed it all, and you could choose differently. And not that you won't still, you know, we're always going to have those moments because, you know, I didn't sleep well, I'm stressed, these things are happening and I can't contain anymore, and I've reached that max point. But like, you know, it's going from, you know, my fuse is like really small to like, I have a really large fuse, and it's going to take a lot to get me to truly explode. And I think that's like that's the powerful thing about healing, because like the way that I experience it and feel it and see it in clients is that like it creates space within your energetic body to choose differently. And it's at that choice point of like, what do you really want here in that moment? And that's like, to me, that's the beautiful thing about doing this work, is like seeing people feel and realize that space and, you know, have different outcomes and different connections because they took that pause.
Yeah. So they took that moment to take a deep breath instead of react. Instead of reacting, they are acting. And I know people are like, oh, that doesn't make a big difference, those two letters, but it surely does.
Yep. Yep.
It surely does.
I a lot of times refer to it, instead of act, like respond. I get to respond. How do I want to respond here? Because it's like the law of polarity, you know, at the neutral center point, I'm receiving all the information that's coming in from all the sources. And then I'm saying, what do I need here in this moment? Do I need to be my loving, kind, generous self? Or do I need to kick some ass and like put somebody in their place because they're trying to like do something that's not good? So like, but if I'm always at this reactive state, you know, I missed an opportunity to actually resolve the issue, you know, like in a loving, everybody gets to win sort of way. And if I'm always too nice, you know, oh, somebody just stole my money. They stole my program. They stole my this or that because I let them. So like being in that, getting to that neutral place, that is where control and our inner authority is.
Yeah. And just learning that is so powerful. And it takes a while sometimes to get out of that reactive state. And a lot of that can be because our nervous systems are burned out and they're overwhelmed and we're stressed all the time and they never get a moment of peace. And so maybe to do the healing, what you need to do first is get that calmed down, right? Mm-hmm. Calm the nervous system, do that. And then you can go doing the deep diving, right? You know, and so that's why I like having all these people that I know in my world, because sometimes it is like a client comes to me and I can see they're not ready for step B and they need step A first, which is this. So we can either start there or I can be like, hey, I'm just not the person to help you with step A. I'm more of a step B and C person, whatever, right? And I can send them to one of these people that I know and be like, hey, go see them first. And when you're ready to do step B, then come back and we will start there, right? Or whatever, because healing can't take place if our nervous systems are too overwhelmed to receive anything in a proper manner. And also, if our nervous systems are already overwhelmed and that we're trying to make a whole bunch of changes at once to heal ourselves, you're just going to cause more overwhelm to an already overwhelmed system, and you're going to wind up burned out and like in the hospital because something terrible is going to happen to your health, right? Because it's just too much. You can't heal when you're constantly in that like fight or flight state, that stressed out, you know, always on the edge of like a crisis. And so, yeah, that's always sometimes, you know, you need to start there first and then you can go see Megan and she can, you know, kick the ass of whatever is bothering you. But I think that it's good to understand that too, that, you know, maybe Megan and I aren't the first place to start for you, and that's okay. We're not the people right off the bat, but we're always here if you need us once you get past that initial stage, right?
And I think, like, I mean, that's why I love the coaching aspect as well, because, you know, that's where the more calming thing is, and asking not so much always the deep questions, but sometimes asking the question that really needs to be answered to create release. And, you know, I do have a large capacity to hold space for people who like are in that negative downward spiral and they're throwing out the lifeline of like, you know, help me, help me. And, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, we'll start off with like in one realm and it's like, okay, you know, you're not receiving any of this. And then it's like the switching gears and it's like, okay, what do you really need here? Because like, you know, you may not be even ready for this. Like, you've got to go back to this basic thing. And again, that, you know, that's why it's the wise warrior. It's, you know, what's really, what is really needed. And, you know, to know I am not that person. Like, if somebody needed a shamanic soul retrieval, for something, like I would guide them to like other friends, because that's not my area. You know, if they need help understanding like the astrological stuff that's going on, you know, I'd connect them to you or other various friends I have who do that, where it's like, you know, half the time, like the only thing I can remember is my sun sign. Let me look at my chart.
Hang on now. Give me a second. Let me consult these notes over here. Yeah, that's also why I like medical astrology too, because it not only really helps me find like the root cause so that we can go like fixing it, but it also kind of shows me where that person currently is without ever necessarily talking to them yet, right? And I can kind of gauge where we need to start, like that plan and that protocol and the baby steps, right? Like some people need like remedial baby steps. We need to start back in like kindergarten to work our way up. Other people are ready for like middle school. Others are ready for university, right? And so that kind of helps me really get a good starting point based on what I'm seeing and where they are. And then we can kind of start right at their level where they need to be. And of course, after talking to them, sometimes what I'm seeing in their chart is definitely where they could be right now, but due to something else, they haven't made it there yet. But I can see that they are able to make it there if we do that X, Y, or Z after talking to them, so I can start somewhere else, right? There's like a starting point. And I like that because I think it's important to start where the people are capable of starting. Because if you start, like, if you're too advanced or even too far behind, it's not going to work, right? Because it's not going to resonate with that person. And it's also important that I can see, too, that I'm like, hey, we're just not going to be good working together. So here's a referral to someone else.
I liked what you said about this is where your potential lies in your chart. And even like with human design and gene keys, it's like, you know, you have your gift level and your CD level of that particular gate. And it's like, oh, I can see that you're here instead of here. And like, this is what's possible for you. And how do we help to start shifting you there? And I think that's really beautiful because it's like the greatest healing is having that person who sees what's possible for you. And I remember like when I was in that kind of more remedial side of my healing, like I remember like I just wanted a healer who could see me, like truly see me, not some, like I'd had readings with some people and like, you know, they were trying to give you like that, what they thought people wanted that was popular versus like, you're not actually reading me. You're trying to tell me what you think I want to hear. And like that wasn't helpful. I mean, I'd rather
somebody... I want the truth. Like, give me the truth. Like,
you know, I wanted somebody to say, like, this is what your potential is, and this is where you need to get your head out of your ass and do something. Mm-hmm. You know, because otherwise, how do I know, one, how do I know what's possible? I knew that there was something better, something different that I was meant for than where I was at that time. I just didn't know what it was, and I didn't know how to get there. And it took me a really long time to finally start to connect with a healer and a teacher who actually started to see that the things that, like, when she said them, like, that felt right. Yes. And then, like, things really started to shift and open up for me.
Yeah, I've been there too. And I find that's one of the things that, like, my clients say to me the most is, you really saw me, like, you really got me, you really showed me this. And I knew that about myself, but I've always been shamed for it or told that it's wrong or whatever. And you telling me that's exactly how I'm designed to be, just like, you saw me for me and like, you're okay with it. And I just appreciate you telling me that it's okay to do whatever this is, right? That I found in the chart. They're like, and I'm like, well, yeah, because that's how you're designed. Like, you literally can't help it. Like, you're not, some parts of you, you just really can't change. That's just how you're designed to be. And learning to accept those and be okay with them is hard when you have everybody else telling you that it's wrong, right? And so being able to have someone come in and go, hey, this is what I see in your chart. And it's literally that thing you've been trying to hide from or stop doing or whatever your whole life that people have told you is quote unquote wrong with you. And you're like, there's such a relief from that. Like, oh, there is nothing wrong with me. Or, oh, that's good to know. Because like you said, now I have a starting point of where I can go. Yeah, I really like that. I just did a reading the other day for a client and they got back to me and were like, oh my God, like, I actually like really loving this reading because you've said so many things about things that I do and I know that I do that I don't like, you're not telling me this is why I'm doing it. And I'm like, oh, so it's nothing wrong with me. And it's like, no, there is nothing wrong with you. This is just literally how you're designed to be. And it's great. It's fascinating. It's lovely. It's so amazing to be able to see this about people. And then like another one was like, oh my God, like I'm literally giggling listening to this because it's so true and resonating so true because literally right before I got on here, I just did X. And then you said in this reading that I would do X. She's like, and I did it. Like, you didn't even know that I did this stuff. Like it, cause I do these readings basically blind. The only information I get from people is their name so I know what to call them.
Always
the information to run a chart, right? Instead of you. Most people are not really like, hey, you. So here you go. But so I know who to call them, right? And then I get like their date of birth, time of birth, place of birth, right? Because I need those to run the chart. And outside of that, I ask a couple of questions about their history and like if they're on any current medications because that can skew symptoms. Mm. And that's pretty much it. Like, I don't ask a lot of other things. And so when I'm finding things in charts and I'm saying them to people, they know it's legit because there's no way I could know that. I did not ask for that information ahead of time. Most of these people I'm reading for, I have never met in my life. So it's not like I, again, could have like known this from being their friend. Right. And so they're just like shocked by how much your chart shows about you as a person and how your body's designed. And that's what I love about it. It's so cool because it just really helps me really dial in on where we need to start and what we need to do. Right.
What is your thought? Like on the side reel, I think that's what it's called, where it's like that extra,
the sidereal.
Yeah. Like, do you use that?
I don't know how I feel about it. I use tropical mainly because medical astrology, when it was turned into a system that people used all the time, used tropical. So that's how it's set up to work. So that's what I use. I've looked at my sidereal chart just to see, like, what about it. And, like, literally none of it resonates or rings true. And it feels really off. I don't know if that's because I just haven't dove into it as much as I have my chart that I have currently in tropical, right? I do use the Placidus system most of the time for reading, so that already is a little weird to a lot of people in the astrology community because there's two main like house systems that you could use. You can use whole sign, where each house is assigned to just one sign, right? So like in my chart, my first house would be Leo, my second house would be Virgo, my third house would be, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas then Placidus, it doesn't assign it based on the size of the house based on just that sign. It's not a whole sign. So the houses are different sizes. So like my first house might be bigger so that it will encompass my rising sign, which is Leo, and my second house sign, which is Virgo, right? And so some of them are split and you can have more than one sign in a house. And so people think it's really strange that I use the Placidus system for medical astrology a lot of times because it wasn't designed to be used with that system. It was designed to be used with whole sign. And I do use whole sign as well, but I have found that when I am looking, if I've looked at the whole sign chart first and I am just not finding like something that I feel like there's like a nagging sensation that I'm not finding everything I need to find, I will move into Placidus. And I find that in that chart system, it really opens up more of like the psyche and spiritual side of things and allows me to see deeper into those. And so if I can't find anything in the whole sign, which is like the physical plane, basically, let's, you know, consider it that, then I will move into the Placidus. Other times I just feel right off the bat when I'm like getting the initial information, like I just will tap into my intuition and I'll be like, yeah, you need to start with Placidus. And so I just will start there. Right. So it just really depends, but I go between those two. And nothing wrong with sidereal, I guess. It's just not my thing. It's not what I like using. I did look into like Vedic astrology for a little bit because the Ayurveda is part of the medical astrology system. And so I was like, hey, let me look into that. But that also was just super, super complicated, like even more so than regular astrology. And I was like, okay, my brain is already overloaded with medical astrology stuff. I really don't need to try to confuse myself with this. So we're just going to stick to this with what I know and not cause problems for me or anybody else.
Yeah. And I think like what you were talking about with the two different types of charts, like it's really in alignment with like the work that I do, like the coaching and timeline piece and even some like the inner child stuff. It's like, it's really like where you are in your planetary body, like what things happen to you here that are causing your problem. Cause you know, how many times as kids were our feelings hurt over something and like we internalize it cause we didn't understand like why it was happening. And then, yeah, you know, there's the quantum realms where you're actually going into you know, and I work a lot. Like I talk about opening up the like quantum galactic Akashic. So like that part that is beyond just our human experience, and it just opens up so much more information. And it was interesting, like when I first started to really connect with that energy, I remember like the first time I was like, there was like this thick layer around like the fields, and I had, it was almost like trying to walk through jelly to get myself through it. But like I had to, and then it was like, where are we? Are we on a spaceship? I think we're on a spaceship. And like, there was all this other galactic trauma that was available to me. You know, and then the second time it was a little bit easier through, and then it was like, then I was able to start to access that. But I think, you know, it's like there's stuff from this lifetime and there's stuff from other lifetimes and other dimensions and realities that are affecting us in ways that we don't yet know. But that's what like quantum physics is really showing us. I mean, that's what CERN is doing. That's what even the quantum computers are talking, like the guy who created that has openly shared how like they're going into different dimensions and pulling things out, and not necessarily good things.
Yeah, they probably aren't going to be too honest about what it is they're finding. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Someone posted the other day that they were, CERN was going to turn back on the reactor or whatever it was
on the eclipse.
And I was like, oh, on the eclipse with Mercury in retrograde? This seems like chaos is going to be having a hell of a lot of fun that day. And I would not want to be at CERN during that time. And someone commented below my comment and was like, well, you know, I feel like Uranus and Aquarius have more to do with like tech issues than Mercury. And I was like, no, I don't mean it in the fact that like Mercury is going to cause a tech issue. I mean in the fact that when Mercury is in retrograde, communication is a problem sometimes, right? Like things get miscommunicated, misunderstood, because we're using that time to like reevaluate things, right? And return to ourselves and really get to know who we are. It's all those re's, the reflection and the renew and everything. And so sometimes you don't hear things as you should, right? So there's miscommunications constantly. There can be tech issues depending, but also it's a eclipse in Aries, which is already like a very chaotic sign. So you're adding all of that like cardinal fire energy, and Aries is all about like, you know, the kind of the ego of the body, right? Because they govern the first house, the house of like your identity and who you are. So it's kind of that egoic nature. So I feel like it's just going to have, something's going to happen that shouldn't happen or that we don't want to happen due to like that combination of that energy of someone's ego getting in the way of actually hearing and communicating with someone else properly. And like, you know, bam, there we go. Yep. We've opened a portal to like some other realm.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw, like, NASA is also shooting like 3 missiles up into the sky. So like, you know, there's the theory that NASA is trying to break the firmament. It's like, that's why they randomly shoot missiles up into the air. Like that's supposed to be the purpose. So it's like, you know, I'm sure between like what they think they're going to be doing with CERN and these rockets, like, I'm not afraid of like anything. Like, I had my moments of, like, we need to stack up and stuff. We need to have stuff in the house just in case. To being like, this is fucking amusing. What the fuck do they think they're doing? And, you know, kind of like wanting to whisper to them, I don't think you're going to get the results that you think you're going to get. You're going to be surprised, and not in a good way.
Yeah. I see so many people that are like, oh my God, it's the apocalypse. It's coming. Like, they're all like, there's like all this fear mongering around it. And I don't believe in fear mongering crap. And I usually am like, I err on the side of caution maybe sometimes, but for the most part, I just don't give into that. So any of the stuff I'm seeing, I'm just like literally like rolling my eyes and being like, okay, well, A, even if the apocalypse does happen from this, like, what are we going to do about it? So there's no point in being like all freaked out about it right now, because you're going to need to have a calm head to make a plan if it does happen, right? And be able to do what I need to do. And like, I don't know, maybe just because we're in a different position than a lot of others, because we do travel all the time and like we're set up and prepared for it, that I guess I'm just maybe not as like freaked out about it as like maybe some other people would be. But I'm with you. I'm just like, I don't know. Like if it happens, it happens. It's meant to be and we can't change it. So why sit here and worry about it?
Yep. And I've been in my Wise Warrior coaching group. I've been doing 8 days of quantum clearing, you know, just because it's like, you know, let's clear what energy, whatever energy, you know, may interact negatively with things. And I've actually been really surprised that like, you know, the first day was just really about clearing fear from the field, and everything else has really been about love. And it's been about like the reconnecting of the masculine and feminine energy. So like kind of healing the masculine from all the war trauma and like bringing them back into this heart center where they're connecting with the feminine. So like, I think there's going to be really positive shifts, and not that like, you know, in the chaos, you know, 'cause when things change, systems collapse, like, there is going to be a lot of like, holy crap, what do we do?
But like, because we've gotten used to things being one way.
Yeah. But these systems have to collapse. That's the only way that we would actually be able to build something new. I remember even like when I was in corporate in my earlier days and they were starting to really get to this level of like every year doing more with less people, It's like, like last release, like we barely made this, and now you want to add this other stuff on and you got rid of people. Like, and I kept telling people, 'cause like, you know, all my coworkers, they would work all these extra hours. They would give up vacation and it's like, no, you have to let it fail.
Yeah.
Or they're going to keep doing this. You have to let the systems fail. And like, we have to let go of this need to like, I've got to fix it and contain it and hold it in place, 'cause this is what I know. It's time to create from the unknown and let all this old shit go that isn't in alignment with our true path.
Yes.
So I'll step
and
off.
And that's a lot of like what's going on though too with Pluto moving into Aquarius, right? It's all of Pluto's all about transformation and change, and Aquarius is literally the like social change like zodiac sign. They're like the ones who are always like out there rooting for change and picketing for change and, you know, doing all that stuff for change. They're just social justice warriors, right? And so I'm with you. I feel that something is coming. I couldn't tell you what per se, but it's coming. And like, I got out of the healthcare system because it was the exact same thing. They were wanting us to do more and more and more and more with less and less and less staff, which when you're in corporate, okay, the thing that you're going to maybe do is you're going to piss another company off because you missed a deadline. If you keep giving me as a nurse people's lives in my hand, more and more and more and more duties and patients, someone's going to die. Like, it's a completely different ballgame. And then if that someone dies and the family decides to sue you personally or bring charges, like, I could lose my license, my home, my family, my job. I mean, my life even, depending on, you know, what state this happens in. And I was like, no, I'm not okay with that. And so many nurses were like, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to wait and chart at the end of my shift and, you know, they can just pay me overtime. And I said, no, you go home. And they were like, but then I haven't charted. I said, then you haven't charted. And they said, but if I don't chart, it didn't happen. And I said, well, if the hospitals want to get paid for shit, they're going to figure out pretty quickly that if they keep giving us too much stuff, then they're not going to be able to charge for stuff because it's not going to be documented that we actually used any of this stuff or this whatever happened. And I said, they don't care until it affects their bottom line. So you can't just keep doing. You have to literally just let things drop. I mean, I would do like, you know, my patient care, obviously, and I would keep them the best that I could when I had too many, but other things fell to the wayside and I didn't care. They'd be like, well, how come you didn't do your insert whatever ridiculous task they wanted me to do now that was nothing to do with nursing? And I'd be like, well, that's not my job. Are you going to pay me to also be an IT expert now? Are you paying me to, you know, be housekeeping? Are you paying me to be the phlebotomist? Are you paying me to, you know, no, you're not paying, you're paying me to be a nurse, and this is what's in my scope of practice, and that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like that, then hire somebody else for those other parts. Like, yeah. I shouldn't have to troubleshoot my own computer because you don't want to keep IT in the building all the time. I shouldn't have to fix this patient's TV because you don't want to have maintenance on all the time, right? Like, no. I'm not a maintenance person. I'm not a plumber. I'm not any of this. I, you know.
Yeah. And, like, you know, in terms of technology and it not being done properly, like, it may not be the life and death in the moment that, like, you know, nurses and doctors face, but you're using that technology. And if that technology fails you, then, you know, it is creating that life and death risk for you.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's like, it's this shitstorm coming from the left and the shitstorm coming from the, sorry, right, left. I know my right and left, I swear. And front and back. And it, like, mm-hmm. it's going to explode. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, just put on your rain cap and, you know, your galoshes and just let it happen.
They would be like, how come you're not running around like a crazy person when you have so many patients? I said, because one, I'm here for 12 hours so I can pace my energy, or I can expend it all in the first 5 minutes of my shift, which I really don't want to do. Two, I have been a nurse long enough to know that nothing is a true emergency unless the patient has no pulse, they're not breathing. That becomes a true emergency. Other than that, unless, like, they're having actual emergent symptoms, I don't need to run down the hallway to go see this patient. I don't need to be, like, I don't need to look busy if I'm not currently busy. If the management wants me to look busy all of the time for them to feel like I'm, you know, I don't know, should be paid what I'm getting paid or whatever their reasoning is, then okay, good for them. But that's a them problem, not a me problem.
Mm-hmm.
And other nurses would get mad at me because I didn't look busy enough, according to them, when you had so many patients. And so I was making everybody else look bad because management wasn't going to believe that we were overworked if we weren't, like, running around like crazy and feeling stressed out all the time. And I was like, well, if you want to go do that, you go right ahead. But, like, I've been a nurse long enough to know that, like, I'm going to get done what I get done in this amount of time, and that's that, and I'm going home. I don't care past that.
And the thing is, you know, when individuals, when corporations, when all of it is constantly stressed and, like, trying to look busy, you fail your clients, you fail your customers, because you can't actually, when the true trauma, the true issue happens, the true fire, like, they're flatlining, if you are exhausted, mentally, physically, emotionally exhausted, you can't handle mm-hmm. that situation, and you make bad mistakes. And yeah. people fail to realize that. And I would tell the people who worked with me or worked for me, like, when they were stressed out and they were like burnt out or they were having a bad day, I'd be like, you know, it's near the end of the day. Leave an hour early. Go have dinner with your family. Go do something fun. Just step away. Or if it was yeah. like, you know, earlier in the day, go have a long lunch. Go for a walk. Do yeah. just step away. I promise you, when you get back, everything will look different. You'll know what the solution is, and it'll mm-hmm. be so much easier. And every yeah. time, you know, they could breathe, they could see the forest through the trees, or the trees through the forest, whatever that saying is, because they had stepped away. And I learned mm-hmm. that really early in my career of, like, making stupid mistakes, like trying to work like 10, 12 hour days and not being able to figure out a problem. And then finally just, okay, I'm just going home. I've got to go sleep. And then coming back to work the next morning and being like, how did I not see that? How did I not do that? Mm-hmm. And it's because
yeah.
you're so stressed. You can't see it. It's not there.
It just literally isn't there. And that was, yeah, that was my thing too. Everyone's like, we were so busy, but you took a lunch break. And I was like, well, A, I don't know why you're mad at me, because you should just go take your lunch break too. But B, if I am literally on the floor because I have passed out from dehydration, starvation, or my bladder has burst from lack of, you know, peeing today, then I'm no good to anybody else. I can't help my patients if I am literally now a patient myself, right?
Yep.
And so I would always, when I would get like new nurses or that I was orienting, or I'd get student nurses, and I could, there were days where these people, I was looking at them, I'm like, did you eat breakfast this morning? Well, no, because I had to, and I was like, did you eat breakfast? No. And I'm like, well, you look like you're about ready to pass out. So I have the patience for this little bit. Go to the break room, get a drink, take a snack, do whatever. Stay there for at least 15 minutes and do not come back until then. And make sure you eat in the time, right? Well, I don't want to leave you alone. I said, girl, I've been a nurse longer than you've even been, probably halfway on this earth. Don't worry about your, our patients will be fine without two of us for 5 minutes, right? And so many of them were so grateful because like, oh, I was with someone last week and they wouldn't even let me pee. And I was like, yeah, well, what does that teach you? Nothing. You're not able to learn what you need to learn as a new nurse who's coming on when you're literally so stressed and you're starving and you're brain is dehydrated and you haven't peed and all you can think about is peeing. Like, you're no good to anybody. You're not, yep. If you're not good to yourself, you're not going to be good to anybody else. And I'm like, you can't be a good and helpful nurse that way, you know? Mm-hmm. And same goes for anything. You need to take care of you so that you can help do whatever else it is that you need to do. If you're not well nourished and you're not well hydrated and you haven't gotten any sleep recently, it doesn't matter what you're trying to do. You're going to be terrible at it. It's going to just be awful because like you said, you just can't see it because you're so tired and stressed out and you've been staring at it for so long that your brain is literally not even seeing it like it should.
Yep. And that's why people need to come to both you and I to do this healing work, because you know we're going to help them, like show them a different way. Like this is not this way. Is not the way. Like, unless you're maybe a super type A personality, and even then, I'll guarantee you that that way of being is because you've got trauma.
And until you, when, if you're over there always trying to control everything, that is not how you're supposed to be, more than likely. If I look at your chart, or she dives deep into, you know, your quantum realm or whatever, we're both going to see the same thing. This is not how you're designed to be. You're living out of alignment, which is making things worse. And this is a learned response for some reason. Typically, you're right. It comes from trauma of some sort in our childhoods, many times in our past lives, whatever, where, you know, we're trying to control everything because that was the only thing we could control was ourselves. And so and that moves externally. And now we're pushing that onto other people. Yeah, 100%. Well, unfortunately, we are at our time. We could talk all day, y'all. But to keep this in the interest of not being too long for you to listen to, we will wrap it up. So, Megan, let everybody know where they can find you. And I will also make sure to have it in the show notes for y'all.
You can find me at my website, which is wisewarriorcoaching.com. I'm also on Facebook. So I've got my Facebook group, which is, you know, Wise Warrior Coaching, or just find me directly. I'm not exactly, I think it's just Megan Crouch, although there's more of us than I realized. But if you're connected to our, you can find my name through her.
Yes, definitely. And I'll have all that stuff in the show notes for you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.
Thank you. Love and light. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Alchemy, Astrology, and Astro Health. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I enjoyed making it. You can find all relevant links to today's show in the show notes below. If you loved the show today, please subscribe, follow, and leave me a review. I love to hear your thoughts, and it helps me know what is a hit and to make more of that content, especially for you. If you want to learn more about me and how I can help you, head over to atlaastrology.com. There you can sign up for a medical astrology package, download my free sun sign and your health ebook, read the blog, and so much more. If you want to connect more outside the podcast, follow my Instagram channel at atlaastrology or join my Astro Connection community, the link to which you can find in the show notes. Until next time, love and light.